I feel like I should have had Frank hand out fly swatters as you guys came in, because feels like we're battling them. I just titled my sermon Psalm 117. If you know Psalm 117, it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. It's always the ones that, if you're growing up as a kid and your parents have you pick out a chapter to read, they always want to read that chapter. And yet, even though it's only two verses long, it's an amazing chapter. I'm going to read it from the NLT. So Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. For his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord." And I think what's amazing is, in verse 1, it says, "All you nations, praise the Lord, and all you people of the earth." And this, the psalmist, he being an Israelite, they were the chosen people of God. Yet he doesn't care. He wants all the people of the earth to praise the Lord, even though he knows all the other nations served false gods. Yet he's telling all the earth to praise the Lord. And the fact that, verse 2 tells that, his unfailing love is powerful and his faithfulness endures forever. So it's amazing. It's just those two simple verses, yet it's a very powerful chapter. So I'm going to, of course, do some other psalms here, though. So if you will, you can join me to Psalm chapter 93. I'm going to read this one from the Amplified. Psalm 93, starting at verse 1, says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty and splendor. The Lord has clothed and encircled himself with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, more than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your precepts are fully confirmed and completely reliable. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." This is an amazing psalm because it tells you that, God established the earth, and because he establishes it, nothing can change it, And then it tells you that these mighty floods, you imagine, of course, back then they didn't have ships like we do today, but ships, if there was mighty waves, it would have tossed the ship, many shipwrecks. Yet it's basically saying that no matter what comes against you, if you're firm, if you have God as your refuge, then no matter what the devil throws at you, you stand firm on God and nothing can happen to you. I mean, things will happen, so to speak, but if you're standing firm on God, then you can't, you are obviously overcome. And then if you will, you can go with me to Psalm chapter 134. This is another short chapter. And I'm also going to read this one from the Amplified. So Psalm 134. And this is what they call a psalm of ascent, where like as people were pilgriming up to the temple in Israel, they would sing this. And it says, "Behold, bless and praise the Lord, all servants of the Lord," which is the priests and Levites, "who stand and serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." And I think this is such a simple psalm, yet it's like it tells us to bless and praise the Lord. And in a return on verse 3, it says, "The Lord will bless you from Zion." So it's amazing because this goes back to the principle of like sowing a seed, reaping what you sow. You know, you bless the Lord in return, you are blessed from the Lord. And this, of course, was Israel too. Like Israel, they were blessed no matter what. I mean, there are many times, you know, in the Old Testament where it talks about how they messed up and got, you know, God basically withdrew his hand and let the enemy come in. But even in those times, they were still a blessed people. So yet, when you bless the Lord, how much more blessed are you? And then I'm going to read one more psalm here, which is Psalm 142. I'm going to read this one out of the New Living Translation. So Psalm 142 says, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. So this psalm, of course, this one was written by David. And it tells that, you know, it was a prayer when he was in a cave. And so David, the one thing he knew what to do was to tell the Lord about all his troubles. It makes me think about, you know, you don't go around telling everybody else about your troubles. You go to God. So verse 3 says, when I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. You know, this is what King David knew. And I was, you know, Brother Steve was talking to me the other day about, you know, the older he's gotten, the more and more he's come to that realization that all he wants in life is more of God, you know. And I just think that's, well, you know, a good place to come is to where it's like every day all you want is more of God. And the verse 6 says, hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, or that's what New Living says, but it's also the same thing as your trials and tribulations. So bring me out of troubles so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. So it's amazing. Even though David's going through this trial in his life, he knows that God's good to him. And in verse 4, you know, it's kind of amazing how he sort of, with the one thing we know about David because of Psalms is he complains a lot to God, but then he always comes back. So it's like verse 4, he says, no one cares a bit what happens to me. And it reminds me of Elijah, you know, when he says, I'm the only one left, God. Nobody else is here to serve you. And God tells him, you know, there are many more. And it's almost David goes through the same thing in verse 4. He says, no one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. But then in the last verse, in verse 7, he says, the godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. So he knows, I think David, you know, he sort of goes through the motions here and he's complaining to God that nobody's here to help me. But he does know in the end that God is good and that he will be surrounded by people who are there to help him and protect him. So I think that's the same thing with us. You know, a lot of times we go through that where it's like, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody, you know, woe is me. Nobody cares about me. You know, I might as well go off and do my own thing. Nobody cares. But it's like, there are always people that God has for you that, you know, we do care for you. And so I just wrote down three things here to sort of wrap this up was like, number one, which, you know, we know this is the Psalms, but it's praise the Lord. And of course, we know that, you know, we don't always feel like that, you know, especially when we go through rough times, but that's when you really need to praise him, let alone he deserves our praise. And then the number two I got is just what David did, go to God with all your troubles. So there again, especially if you don't feel like it or you feel like nobody cares, you know, there again, I think it is important that you can have a Christian strong friend that you can go to that when you need help, like, hey, I need help with this. I need you to pray for me, or, you know, so that's important. But always go to God with your troubles. And then number three is after you've gone to God with the troubles, know with absolute certainty that he will deliver you. And that's what King David knew. He knew, you know, time and time again, he saw the hand of God deliver him from all his troubles, from all his enemies that surrounded him. So that's what I want to encourage you today is, you know, especially this time of year where we're going into Thanksgiving, you know, there's so many things to be thankful for, and it's so important to just praise the Lord, you know. Every day I try to, I try to put that in my life. It's like, just praise the Lord every day. The more you do it, the easier it is, and the more, even when you're going through things, it can help you so much, you know, when you go through things, to just praise the Lord. So, and that is it.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So today's another math lesson. I know you guys are so excited for another math lesson, huh? Thank you. Can you bring it forward just a few inches? Yeah. Appreciate that. And can you put the chair behind it? Thank you so much. Okay, so thank you. That's perfect. So when we get saved, we all know that the first thing that we do is we put our faith in God for our salvation, right? But sometimes we put our faith in God for our salvation, but then we don't put our faith in Him for the rest of our life. We grab a hold of that, and then we just kind of stop there. But God is like, no, keep going. This is relationship, right? So today we're going to talk about the unknown. And you can go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to read this out of the NLT. So in the King James, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. So I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. This is one of the verses that helped me as I started to become a woman. Not just a teenager anymore, not just always caring about myself, but realizing that I have responsibility for other things in my life, and especially my own relationship with the Lord. That was a big click in my brain at that point. So in the New Living Translation, it says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And then Psalm 23, we know the verse that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. So there's times in our lives where things are clear cut. We know what direction we're taking in our life, right? But then there's times where things are difficult and confusing, where there's doubt and there's questioning, you don't know what's going on. The devil weaponizes the unknown, okay? And he creates fears to try to destroy us. He wants us to focus on what we don't have and what we don't know so that we will get our eyes off of what God's promises are. Amen. Sometimes we don't even know how to deal with a trial we're faced with. Sometimes we go through these internal struggles and we don't even almost know what to say or how to get help. We know that we're struggling on the inside, and sometimes it's like you don't even know what to say. You know that you need help. And it says in the Bible, you go to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you confess your faults one to another, but you don't even know what's really going on the inside. Those are the hard moments. So in math, there's a branch of math known as algebra, and that's probably the one that everybody hated in high school, right? The interesting thing about algebra is it didn't ever start in high school. Most algebraic problems that we learned started in first and second grade, but we didn't actually quite realize that's what it was because it wasn't called that. We just learned variables and unknowns, but we were actually learning algebra, okay? So today I want to show you an algebraic equation, And I'm going to explain it and explain a few details about how algebra lines up with the unknown in our lives. Okay? So I'm hoping I have a good marker in here. So this one, this problem is one that Mandy had in second grade. Okay? If you don't know it, I'm sorry. And if you can't see it, let me know. Okay, so it's 5 plus x equals 8. X means the unknown. Brian, can you tell me what the answer is? 3. Thank you. I just wanted to pick on you. Because Aiden's not here, so I got to pick on somebody. All right, so x equals 3. Now, it's easy for us to figure out the answer to this equation, right? But what if it was more complicated? So I'm going to take this off. Because, you know, sometimes in our lives, we look at our problems and we think, oh man, I'm going through the worst possible thing in my life. And it can't be any worse, it can't be any, my problem is bigger than someone else's problem, right? So we look at our lives and we think this. Pardon my time. Can everybody see this when I'm done? Because I'm kind of squishing it in. Okay, so the problem is 17x plus 12 equals 54 minus 4x. Now, if you look at this, it's like, oh my gosh, that is a big problem. And so we think, sometimes we look at the other problem and we're like, they're like, well, that person doesn't have that big of a problem. This is my problem. Like, there's no way I'm getting through that. Well, the interesting thing is, Brian, you got it figured out yet? The interesting thing is x equals 3 on this problem as well. Now, the crazy thing is, we could look at this and be like, well, man, my problem is so big, it's worse than everybody else's. So I need more attention and I need more help than someone else does. My problem is big, but God looks at these kind of problems and he's like, it's not worse than anybody else. I can solve those problems for someone who thinks it's a hard thing and for someone who thinks it's an easy thing, okay? So in all of this, what if you do not know God in your life? What if you're not saved? Okay? So in algebra, you always solve for the unknown. But there are problems that people have in their lives where because they don't know God, they can't solve for the unknown. And this is called, basically, it's unsolvable. If there are two variables, 5 plus x equals y, y meaning God is the answer to everything, okay? If you don't have God in your life, you are never going to figure out x. You can put any numbers in that you want to, but if you never know what y is, you'll never know what x is, okay? So back to the first problem, okay? So it's really easy to figure out from the very first one. When you know God, you know his name. You know who he is. You know that you can turn to him. You know that he is the answer to every question, okay? So it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Let's say five represents you and eight represents God. But then you have X that represents all of the unknown in your life. All of the questions. All of the things that are difficult and you don't have an answer for. Okay? So this is my last part of this. So in algebra, in order to correctly follow each step to solve for the unknown, you have to take all of your numbers and put them on one side, and all of your variables, which would be your x, on the other side. So you would do this. You would do, you would leave x on one side, and you would take u, and you would put it over here, okay? So we're going to take this off. Okay? So now x equals 8 minus 5. So what you're doing is you are putting yourself on God's side because God has the answer. 8 minus 5 is 3. That's easy to figure out, right? So in any problem, any time in your life that you are facing any question or whatever you're going through, you have to put yourself on God's side, okay? You have to put yourself on God's side and every question, every doubt, everything that you're going through on the other side, every variable, all unknowns, okay? Now, I'm using this example because I love math, and I know so many people don't, but I use this because, like I said last week, everything that God has created points back to Him, even things that we don't expect. You know, anytime you go through creation, you'll understand that God created every single thing to show that there is a creator, okay? All right, so now I'm going to do some scripture to get into this, okay? So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read this out of the New Living. And this is Jesus talking, and he's teaching the disciples. And the title of my section in the New Living says, teaching about money and possessions. And so a lot of us, when we think about the unknown, we think about our finances, we think about our health, we think about our children, we think about what we're going through in our lives, we think about all these things, right? But Jesus tells us something so radical that it's for us to understand that our trust truly has to be in Him. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So I'm going to pause right there. So in this problem, if our focus is all about the unknown, if we put ourselves on the side of the unknown, then what it does is it puts a barrier between us and God. Because we're so focused on that unknown that we can't see God, that He's the solution. We have to physically take our minds and our hearts away from the unknown and put ourselves in God's hands and in His heart and in His trust. Amen? We have to do that. Nobody can do that for us. Amen? People can help us in any way they physically can, but only we can make that choice to put ourselves on God's side. Verse 22, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I love how New Living puts this. Can all your worries, verse 27, add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, I supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God is the one who supplies your needs. Amen. When you're worried about the future, God says that he holds your future in his hands. That's Psalm 31:15. When you have a question about what direction you need to go in life, I love this verse. It's Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isn't that incredible? I want you to turn to Psalm 37. And I want to encourage you, you know, all throughout the Bible, God says, write this upon the table of your heart. Remember this, meditate on it. You know, when you're going through something, sometimes it's really hard to read because you're so focused on all of the troubles in your life. But when you have something that's written on the tables of your heart, you can recall that much better. And you can remember his word and it will change your life. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 37, I'm just going to pick out different verses. I love this whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick out the ones that we all know. So 3, and I'm going to read to 7. Trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. I'm in the New Living Translation, by the way. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. And you know, sometimes we have to tell our own minds to be still and wait patiently for him. And then verses 18 and 19. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times, even in famine. They will have more than enough. And then down to 23 to 25. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Isn't that incredible? So right there, it's showing you that you shouldn't have fear for your family as well. Amen. So I want to encourage you, take the unknowns in your life and turn them over to the Lord. Don't put them in front of you and try to figure them out without turning your heart to the Lord and seeing those problems from his perspective. Because God truly does have the answer to each and every problem you're facing in your life. Whether it's a little problem like this one, it's easy to understand that X equals 3. But the other problem was very hard to understand unless you work that out step by step, and it requires a lot more steps in order for you to figure out that answer. Amen. So sometimes you might have to really, really, really listen to the Lord for each and every step. And he will tell you, just like he says in Isaiah, when you're walking, whether it's to the right or to the left, he will tell you, this is the way, walk in it. All he's saying is to just listen for his voice. Amen. So I know sometimes we have these obstacles in our life. And what we do is we focus so much on that obstacle that we never truly focus on the Lord who will help us over that obstacle. Amen. Sometimes we need to build something in our life in order to conquer or get over that. You know, like imagine you have a fence outside and you just sat there staring at this fence. And God's like, there's a ladder right over there. But if you would just listen to me, I'll show you where the ladder is, and then you can climb over that fence and get to the other side. But if you're so focused on looking at that fence, you're looking at that problem and that obstacle, you'll never go get the ladder. You'll never find a way over that. Amen? And I want to encourage you, you know, sometimes God uses these trials in our lives. He uses these obstacles and he uses these unknowns because he really, really wants us to trust him. He wants us to truly have faith in him. Amen. When God called Abraham to leave his family and to just go where he wanted him to go, I mean, can you imagine all of his livelihood, everything? He left all of his family and went right where God wanted him to be. That is true faith in God. Amen. So I want to share with you one little story, and then I'm going to close out. So there, I don't remember quite where I heard this story. I think I read it in an article. But there's this little boy, and he's in a foster family, and he's getting prepared to go live with them. And he's come from a really, really hard life, and like really, really hard. Not knowing where he's going to eat the next day, not knowing what, you know, he grew up in a really bad situation. So he goes to live with this foster family. And one day the foster mom is cleaning his room and finds food in different drawers and hiding under different places. And so she's thinking about this and she tells her husband, you know, I can't figure out why he is putting food in his room. And her husband says, well, it's because he didn't have anything to eat. He is scared that he's not going to eat. So they get the little boy and they tell him, why do you have food in your room? And he says the same thing. He says, I just don't know when you're going to feed me. Are you going to still feed me tomorrow? And they both just hug him and embrace him. And they just tell him, we'll always feed you. You don't have to worry about anything. When you're in this house, everything that we have is yours. You are a part of our family now. And they go on later on to adopt this child. And I think he's actually my age now. It's such a long time ago. But it's just amazing. You have to understand that you can go into God's house and he truly does have everything that you need. You have to understand that there is nothing that God cannot do for you. Sometimes there's things that he keeps away from you because he knows that it will destroy your life. Sometimes he does that for our protection. Sometimes we go through things because God wants us to build character so that we will be strong for the next thing that we face. And sometimes we go through things because God wants us to show our children that we chose to trust the Lord. And because we chose to trust the Lord, they can trust the Lord as well. Amen. So don't give up. Whatever you are facing, remember that God has a plan for your life. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you. You know, sometimes we don't know what people are facing. And like today, Naomi had a migraine. She's had a migraine for several days. And I know from having them that it is horrible. If you've ever had them, you know it's hard. But that's what we're here for, to pray for her, you know. We don't know what each one of us, sometimes what we're really facing in life. But we know that God is here for us, and we know that we can pray for each other and God will move. Amen. So we're going to agree together for her. And just for anyone else who's not here, we don't know what they're facing, or maybe they're just working. You know, we have a lot of people have to work on Sunday. So that's what we'll do. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Naomi to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch her body. We command the nerves and the tension to be released. We speak to that migraine to leave her body. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed by Jesus' stripes. We speak that over her, Lord. It says in your word, if two agree as touching anything, it is done. So we thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. God, we thank you for each person, each family who's not here today. We just ask you, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them safe, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you would speak to them even as they're not in church, Lord. Speak to them where you want them to be and what you want them to do. God, we thank you, Lord, for each one of us that are here today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us by your word. What a blessing it is to come together to worship you, Lord, together, to hear your word. We just thank you for that, Lord. And God, I pray that you would bless and strengthen each and every person here today. Heal their bodies of whatever they're going through, Lord. We thank you that Brother Nels, God, will have a safe trip back, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you. Amen. You are dismissed.